This is HPR episode 2255 entitled, The Good Ship HPR. It is hosted by Dave Morris and is about 26 minutes long and carries an explicit flag. The summary is, HPR is a wonderful yet fragile project completely dependent on a steady flow of shows from hosts.
This episode of HPR is brought to you by anhonesthost.com. Get 15% discount on all shared hosting with the offer code HPR15. That's HPR15. Better web hosting that's honest and fair at anhonesthost.com.
Hello everybody, this is Dave Morris, and welcome to Hacker Public Radio. HPR is the subject of today's episode. I've called it the Good Ship HPR, and the reason why will become apparent as I continue. So, in case you don't really know much about HPR, perhaps you've just picked this episode up and wondering what the hell it's all about, I thought I'd start by introducing it a little bit. You might not know all the ins and outs. So what is it? It's pretty amazing thing, actually. I've known it for a number of years now, but was quite astonished when I found it. It's been producing one episode a day, every weekday, for quite some time. And all the episodes that you hear on HPR originate from the community. I heard somebody refer to HPR as crowdsourced, which I thought was a pretty nice idea. Nice way of putting it, because it is. The community of listeners and others actually has sort of transformed into people who've contributed shows, and that host community continues to grow and to produce shows. And the shows are open access, they're under Creative Commons licenses of various sorts. CC by SA is the default. The content is very broad. It says that content is of interest to hackers, but well, first you have to define what a hacker is, and then you have to define of interest, and that leaves you with a lot of possibilities. And a lot of people have interpreted it in a wide variety of ways. So you can get to all the shows through the HPR site. You can go all the way back to episode 1, and there you can see the whatever notes there are and read them, and you can play the show. There are also feeds that you can download stuff to a podcast or podcatcher, and you can get shows. You can also get stuff by series, by the comments that people submit to shows. You can also follow email through feed. We're in the process of uploading things to archive.org. At the moment, within a few days of appearing on the feed, the main feed that is, shows are uploaded, and we're gradually working backwards through the older shows and uploading them. So what we want to achieve is to have everything on archive.org. So if you want to look up show 1999, for example, on archive.org, I've put the URL of what you would need, but it basically ends with HPR 1999. And you can also browse the entire HPR collection that's been uploaded, and you can search it too on archive.org. We can't do searching very much on the HPR site, but that's something we're working on. So I thought it was worth just mentioning some of the history of HPR, other than what I've already said, which is quite general. There's a website stats page, which is not a very friendly page, but it does give you information about what's happening on HPR and when it was created and that sort of stuff. So HPR itself came into being as HPR 9 years ago, but it was preceded by Today with the Techie 11 years ago. You can see the actual dates and so forth in the file. I've put them in the notes as well. And there's long notes which I've added to this so that you can read the contents of essentially what I'm saying. I'm not reading them out to you, I'm just sort of ad-libbing off them, but you'll get the general gist, so you can read it again if you want to rather than listen to me. I've also produced them as a EPUB version. I chose EPUB because I find it more usable, didn't bother with PDF. So the frequency of show release wasn't what we have now, 5 per week, every weekday. There were gaps, and sometimes there were quite long gaps, and occasionally there were shows coming out the weekend in the early days. But I did a little scan through the database to see where the gaps occurred, and there were quite a number of them, but I didn't do a complex analysis of them, as much as I would have liked. But stability of 5 shows a week, every weekday, happened in October 2012. And there have been no gaps since then, which I think is quite significant. It's a very important feature. It is something you can rely on, and it's something we want to maintain. It's the reliability of HBR's show release cycle is something that really I think should continue, and that's one of its selling points, I think. So there are currently 280 people, hosts as we say, who have contributed shows throughout the history of HBR. And just now, in February 2017, show number 2230 has been released, which is pretty impressive. That's a lot of shows. We will incorporate the Today with the Techie shows and hosts into the system and the archive in due course. So HBR has been pretty good. It's been very successful over the years. However, there's a certain fragility in the way that it works, and that's the reason for doing this episode. So let's look at that. What's the fragility? What's the problem? Well, the big gotcha is that HBR needs a steady supply of contributions to keep doing that thing of releasing one show every weekday. And sometimes the supply nearly dries up. So HBR needs 5 shows a week, 52 weeks, that's 260. It's not precisely that number, but it's around that area, depending on the number of days in a year and where they align and so forth. I did say here that given that we've got 280 people registered there, if all of them provided a show per year, one show per year, we'd be fine. We would have no problems with shortages. But the rate of supply is not reliable, unfortunately. Sometimes there are plenty of shows in the queue. At this precise moment, there are plenty. But at other times, the supply dwindles and the future HBR looks very much in doubt. And that future, I think, needs to be said, the future of HBR in terms of reliability of producing a show per day every weekday. We do keep a small buffer of emergency shows, which are there in case there's a gap in the schedule 24 hours prior to release. So if the next day has not yet been filled, the next slot, then we would use one of the emergency shows. There's only 8 in that queue. We don't want to have too many anyway, because they need to be special in that they sit around for a long time, so they need to be timeless in some form. There's been debate over whether we should even be keeping an emergency collection at all. At the moment, the decision has been yes, so we are. So I started thinking about this. Well, actually, in 2015, I started thinking about this. It's another show that has taken me an enormous length of time to get to and get done. But when I was planning for this in reality, actually writing stuff, HBR had just been through quite a crisis in terms of the supply of shows. There were just a few left, and it was about to run out. We put out emergency appeals for shows, and people stepped up and provided shows as a consequence. It was really good to see. But then things went quiet and the state of shortage started to loom again. It didn't become quite as severe, but it took another appeal on one of the monthly community news shows to restart the flow. Then another shortage occurred in August 2016, and so it went on. And this is how it does go on. You only need to look at the calendar page, I've linked to it, where we keep a diagram, a plot of the peaks and troughs in supply, and you'll see it's a sawtooth. HBR is an example of what tended to be called community internet radio. It's not radio at all, really, because it's narrow casting rather than broadcasting, but that was the term that was around. 9 years or so ago, and it's still a useful thing to refer to, I think. But in particular, the way that things are for HBR is that we see a feast of shows, followed by a famine, followed by a feast, and so on and so forth. Now, the reason that the Good Ship HBR idea came up was in a recent conversation about the problem. I likened our situation to being in a leaky ship. The ship is always in danger of sinking unless we keep emptying the water out by bailing. There are at least 280 crew members who have buckets and can help with emptying the water, but there are also many more passengers who could grab a bucket and join in. So everyone needs to take a turn. It's not reasonable to expect just a few crew members to keep the ship from sinking beneath the wave. So there is a certain need for the listeners and existing hosts to step up and provide more shows for HPR. So I reiterate here the fact that we had this rather desperate situation around about the 12th of April 2016, and we had to go into emergency mode to put out requests for more shows. We had people stepping up to help, and that was wonderful, but it's not really the way we want it. It's not the way to run. Using the ship analogy again, you can't get to the point where the water's washing over the decks before we start bailing. It needs to be a constant process. So I thought it would be useful to look at some of the statistics that I collected. Yeah, today I put today's date in the notes. I'm not going to go into a lot of detail here because it gets quite tedious, and I've made some tables here that you can look at. So in the last, I've computed the number of hosts in the last 12 months, and there have been 67 hosts, not all new, that have contributed to the 260 shows that have been needed in that period. So 67 people have contributed shows in the last 12 months. But in that period, we've also had 22 new hosts, and they've done their first show, and in several cases have gone on to contribute more, totaling 56 shows in total between them. So I've got a table that shows the number of people contributing greater than 10 shows, between 5 and 10 shows, and less than 5 shows over that year period. And the number of shows that each group has produced as a consequence, and what percentage that represents in relation to the need for shows over that period. So just to skim through it quickly, 5 people did over 10 episodes in the last year, producing 87 episodes, which is 33% of the requirement. And there were 10 people contributed between 5 and 10 shows, and that produced 73 episodes, which is 28%. The remaining 100 shows came from people who were contributing 1 show and less than 5 show. Obviously 1 show, why did I say that? Sorry. And so there were 52 people who did that 100 shows. That was 38% of the need, the requirement for that period. I made some other analyses of things going on. I showed the number of new hosts arriving, joining within calendar years. Remember that HBR was begun in 2007, 31st of December, in fact, so there's only one day for it in 2007. So we had one new host in that time, who was our founder, Stank Dog. And then after that, there have been different numbers of hosts joining per year. Obviously, 2017, we're only into February so far, so we've only got 2 hosts up to today. But in other times, we've got a various numbers, 47 in 2008, and we've got 2016, we had 22. I'll leave you to look at that. It just gives some idea of the rate at which people are joining and contributing shows, at least contributing their first show. So how do we solve this shortage problem? This issue has been kicked around a little bit, but I thought it was useful just to try and collate things together and have a further brainstorm about how to deal with it. There aren't any simple solutions, obviously. People are contributing episodes, and the HBR project is still going, but it's the steady state that we want and we're not getting. And we've recognised this problem for as long as HPR has been around, I guess. Nobody's really found a solution. I've got a few thoughts and comments here to try and raise awareness and get suggestions from the community. Thought I'd better start with some assumptions and caveats. Thinking about this, I keep on falling into ways of thinking which are not quite right, and I thought it's worth just spelling out the things that you need to have clear in your mind. There is an attrition process amongst contributors, so there's a proportion of the host population that have done one show and then never been seen again. Others have done maybe more than one, up to quite several, and then effectively disappear. I won't name any names, but I could do, obviously, because I had to analyse the show release dates and hosts in order to come up with this sort of stuff. So the fact that there is an attrition process means that we do need to be recruiting new hosts. But HBR continues to function because of repeated contribution from people. So we can't just function on the basis that we want new hosts, and a new host by definition brings with them a show, but we need there to be more than that one. So encouraging existing hosts to continue contributing shows is one of the things that we need to do in order to continue and solve the shortage. HPR needs listeners, and it needs to have a reasonably high visibility. But in terms of the supply of episodes, contributors are more important than listeners. Though ideally, I said, if all listeners were contributors, that would be wonderful. One thing that hadn't quite occurred to me until recently is that not all contributors necessarily listen to HBR. Some people might have heard of it in passing and want to produce a show. They might use it as a springboard to doing something else, doing a podcast of their own or something like that. Or they might just like the HBR concept and want to make their own mark by producing a podcast. I mean, there is something quite nice about being able to say that you have produced a podcast, a show, an episode of your own, and it can be heard in perpetuity on HPR and on archive.org. So my next topic was raising the profile of HPR, and this was following on from what a show that Droops did, 2035 he did the show. I think the argument is the more HPR is known about, the more listeners there'll be. The more listeners there are, the more hosts there are likely to be, though listeners and hosts don't correlate necessarily. Not everybody who listens wants to contribute. And the more hosts we get, the more new hosts we get, the more shows there will be, was one of the pieces of thinking here, though that's not as clear as you might think, as I've already said. So just to skim through the points that Droops made, he was suggesting that we transcribe shows, so there was a written notes. That's a huge task. It's a massive task. I can't honestly see how we can achieve that. It's more than I could take on, and I suspect there won't be many people who would want to get involved with that. I can't think of an automated way of doing it. He suggested we get well-known podcasters to guest host or advertise. Advertising, I think it would be a great thing. We need more advertising, but not sure about the other one. Interview more people, definitely, because they'll mention the interview on their blog or social media. We're seeing that now with Ken's stuff from Fosdem, for example. Offer a phone app to simplify the recording and submission of shows. Definitely. Collect more topics through a survey or submission form. Yep. Generate host photos with show titles for social media. We're doing some of that. Make a video explaining what HBR is. Yeah, sounds good. And comments on the tags thing. Well, I've already said that the tags, we're working on tags, and I've got three shows eventually coming up about this. Not sure where this show will come out in relation to them, but it's an ongoing topic anyway. So we need more shows about cool software, books or documentaries, says Droops. And an HBR shop with stickers, t-shirts and tote bags. Yeah, some interesting ideas. I'm not sure some of them take us into realms that are going to be very hard to sustain, I suspect. But not wanting to pour cold water on it. So I wanted to comment on the need for new hosts. And I sampled the HBR database again and found that quite a number of registered hosts in the period up to the end of 2015 contributed one show and were never seen again. And I found there were 87 people who had become a host, done the one show, and then had gone. So that was around 31% of the host count contributed their one show before the start of 2016. So that was just really making the point that we need a constant stream of new hosts. We need to have some means of attracting potential new hosts to make a contribution. And people are often impressed by the HBR idea, and but going from there to producing a show of their own is doesn't necessarily follow. Perhaps there's mileage in someone doing a show or video about breaking down the barriers for new hosts. I've been to a number of conferences and things like Art Camp and stuff, and people where we have a table and people come and talk to us about who we are and what we're doing and stuff, like the idea of HBR. But when the thought of actually doing a show themselves comes up, they say, well, what would I talk about? And then they say, why, how would I have the stuff that I need to do it? You know, there's thinking that they need to be ultra technical and that they need to have a studio or something. And then there's a comment, I'd feel stupid recording myself, or I hate the sound of my own voice. These are sort of some of the barriers that need to be overcome in getting new people to come and join in. Simplifying the submission process would be a good thing. It's already quite streamlined compared to what it was, but the idea that Droop suggested making a phone app is very good, I think, anyway. And I wonder if there's anybody in the community who could do such a thing. And maybe something like a YouTube video or something like that explaining how you become a host could help to get people in. Even though it's a lot more streamlined than it was, it still seems to confuse people to some degree. One of the factors is the need for more than one show from a host. So I wanted to comment on the incentive to do show number two and further shows. I think it's really important to give feedback on shows. I've wondered how valued contributors feel, especially after the first show, and to what extent lack of feedback in the past has dissuaded people from doing more shows. I can envisage a case where somebody's thinking, well, I did a show for HBR and I thought it might be interesting, but nobody said anything about it. I don't know if I'll bother to do another one. I don't know. I have no evidence for that, but it just struck me as a possibility. When I first heard HBR, I enjoyed the community news shows and was impressed the way that it reviewed the previous month's episodes. I think it's a really important part of HBR, and it's something that does give feedback in lieu of comments or other sorts of feedback. So it and the comments are really important, I believe. I've wondered if perhaps a like button would improve things. It's a way of giving feedback and could help with encouragement. The trouble is that this would not be trivial to implement, especially if we want to keep the website and so forth and the code that drives it as simple as possible. What is an HBR show anyway? That's something that needs to be considered. The range of stuff that's already been submitted is very broad, but maybe people get the impression that HBR is all about highly technical topics, scripting, programming, and that sort of thing. And that's an element, but we've had very broad range of stuff. As I've said, I'm reminded of an episode on swimming in a river in France, cooking of various sorts, making coffee, mental health, building a bicycle. We've had a lot. The term interest to hackers means interest to hobbyists and makers as well. So it's really broad. The description is so wide that there's hardly anything that's not acceptable. And perhaps we should make more of explaining this to people. So should we be advertising HBR more? And should we be saying to people who are potential hosts that here is a platform for them to come and talk about their particular interests? And everybody has interests of various sorts. Maybe they don't fully appreciate that there's potential audience out there who would listen to them talking about it. Maybe the family are bored with them talking about it, but I suspect that there are people on HBR who would enjoy whatever it is. So I did I've been thinking more about statistics since I've been digging around in the database in the past week or two. And I think it would be quite interesting to maintain a page of statistics about the number of hosts and shows and so forth. Just not necessarily going into detail, but just to give people existing hosts and potential contributors an indication of what's happening and how there's a constant need for shows. And I've linked back to the statistics I produced earlier on in these notes as maybe an example of what could be displayed. I did have a few thoughts about perhaps doing things a bit more competitive around statistics. I mean, should we be displaying details about the longest show in the last year or the last month, the shortest show, the host of the show with the most comments, the host with the most shows in the last month or year? Should we be doing something like that? It would be possible. I've done it myself, to be honest, just to see. But I don't know, I'm not personally that keen on that sort of thing. I think it might be more discouraging than anything else, but I'm interested in what people have to say about it. And the last thing I was going to say was a really absurd one. Should we send out begging letters? Should we be doing something like, "Dear X, HBR is constantly in need of shows. You have been a contributor in the past, but we've not heard from you for a long time. Perhaps you could record another show for us. It would be very helpful to the survival of the project." Can we do something like that? I noted here, I get stuff like this from various sources, from schools my children have been to in the past, from universities I've been to, etc., etc. Effectively, well, they're looking for money rather than shows or anything of that sort. But there's something about that says, "Oh, thank you very much for your contribution. Oh, now you're a victim. I'm going to keep hassling you forever now," which really bothers me. So I think my vote would be against, but I thought I'd throw it out there just to see if anybody had any comments about it. Okay, so we've looked at this concept of the good ship HBR and the fact that it's a leaky ship and could sink at any time. I've offered some thoughts, some mine, some not, and obviously have no absolute answers, but I'd be very, very interested to get, we all would be interested to get more comments and contributions to how we solve the problem of continuing the HBR model and ensuring that we get a more steady stream of contributions to it. Okay, that's it for now then. Bye-bye.
You've been listening to Hacker Public Radio at hackerpublicradio.org. We are a community podcast network that releases shows every weekday, Monday through Friday. Today's show, like all our shows, was contributed by an HBR listener like yourself. If you ever thought of recording a podcast, then click on our contribute link to find out how easy it really is. Hacker Public Radio was founded by the Digital Dog Pound and the Infonomicon Computer Club and is part of the Binary Revolution at binrev.com. If you have comments on today's show, please email the host directly, leave a comment on the website, or record a follow-up episode yourself. Unless otherwise stated, today's show is released under a Creative Commons Attribution ShareAlike 3.0 license.